Welcome to the Being Disciples podcast with Pastor John. All notes and video links can be found at virtualstudywith.us. That's virtualstudywith.us. This weekly podcast published every Monday that is meant to help believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ to mature in their faith. These principles should be useful to anyone who listens, but especially for the believers who are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. You're invited on a journey to explore what it means to be a disciple. And this is going to be a great time, guys, let me tell you. Well, let's begin by joining Pastor John with an opening prayer. Pastor John?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for so great a love that you have for us, that you sent your only begotten Son to redeem us and to restore us into a right relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, that for the joy set before you, you were willing to leave the majesty of heaven to come into this world, your creation, to redeem us and to restore us into a loving relationship with the Father. Thank you for laying down your life for us, both in the living of it and in the dying. In life, you showed us how we ought to live in intimacy with the Father, following the leading of the Holy Spirit and loving one another. In death, you gave your body for us, bruised for our iniquities, wounded for our transgressions, beaten, battered, and bloodied, even pierced to the shedding of your blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask you to give us the words to say and to open our ears and hearts to hear what you would say to us. Please bless all who join us today and all who hear this message, even the recording at a later time. We thank you. Amen. Now let's get on with the lesson for today.
Welcome to episode 20 of Being Disciples. Today we're going to look at loving one another with the emphasis towards commitment to God and to one another. Let's begin with a working definition of love. I look at it as seeing the need of someone else and doing what you can to alleviate it, acting with care and compassion. An example, God saw our need for a Savior and sent Christ Jesus. Another example, a parent providing for the needs of a child. When we see a need in somebody else and doing what we can within our power and our means to alleviate the situation, that is showing love. More technically, Merriam-Webster Online, love is unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of another. Brotherly concern for others, or benevolent, meaning marked by or disposed to doing good. Then the idea of commitment. Again, Merriam-Webster Online, the state or an instance of being obligated or emotionally impelled, a commitment to a cause. Let's begin with a scripture that asks the question, am I my brother's keeper? This question is asked when attempting to evade moral responsibility to care for or to love one another. In the book of Genesis, we read, then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? That's in chapter 4, verse 9 of Genesis. So first off, Cain lied, saying, I do not know. Second, Cain became evasive, saying, am I my brother's keeper? Cain did not want to take responsibility for his actions. Cain acted out of his emotional state without considering the retribution, which is the punishment administered in return for a wrong committed. Does the love for one another that Jesus commands us go beyond the natural responsibilities we have already? I think it does. I think it goes to sacrificial love, making a choice to serve someone even at a cost to oneself, giving something up for the sake of the need of someone else, going beyond the merely convenient meeting of a need, and for many, time may be the greater sacrifice than money. During his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus challenged people beyond what they had been taught. He told them what they had heard from others as their lesson, then saying, but I say to you, as he ramped up the challenge for their behavior. This example was in the context of retaliation, or that we ought to show greater love rather than retaliating. In Matthew 5, Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount, and if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. It's in chapter 5, verses 40 to 42. During the same sermon, Jesus also spoke about loving your enemies. Now, Israel was under the occupation of Rome. This was a very real challenge of the day for the Jewish people. Is it so different today with our government? We continue on with verses 43 and 44 of chapter 5 in Matthew. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Then, in verse 45, Jesus provides the reason why we should do so. He says, "So that you may be sons of the Father who is in heaven." Now, if we are to be sons of the Father, we must follow the example of Jesus, truly living the way Jesus demonstrated for us. He walked this path on his trip to the cross for our sake, love for others, for us. Jesus gives a micro lesson on the great love of God for all people, the good and the wicked. He offers his love and gift of salvation to all men and women. It is up to us to receive that loving gift. It is up to us to commit ourselves to Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And a little side note, notice whose son it is. That's son, S-U-N. In Matthew 5, the second half of verse 45, it reads, Jesus said, "For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." So did you catch that? It says his sun. Just a little side note there. But he does cause it to shine on the evil and the good, as well as the rain falling on the just and the unjust. So here's why I believe Jesus calls us to love one another beyond the natural responsibility we have toward one another. He gives a contrast to what sinners do. He asks the question, what reward do you have if you do the same? So in verses 46 to 47, the same Matthew 5, Jesus goes on to say, "For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same?" Jesus calls us to go above and beyond. Sacrificial love. What more are we doing than the natural man? Not just in principle, but in action. Being doers of the word. Then comes the biggest challenge of the sermon, and it's not a request. In verse 48 of the same Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." He says, you must be. Now we can only do it when we are in Christ Jesus, when we're walking in his power, when we're clothed in him. This requires commitment. Commitment as one who serves the Lord. Commitment to developing the relationship with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Commitment to loving one another in the challenging ways in which we are instructed by Jesus. Commitment to sacrificial love. Commitment to daily dying to self. Our behavior, or what we do, our actions, is a reflection of our commitment. Just a few examples here, and we can make a long list if we wanted to. First example, to a spouse or family member, forgiving quickly or faithfully supporting and encouraging. To a group, faithful attendance for whatever purpose the group meets, punctuality, respecting the time of others. The example of being faithful and committed to fellow believers, faithful support for one another in love, that being encouragement and meeting of needs, or putting others before oneself. Commitment to the yet-to-be believers, always showing love and value for them, being willing to give of time and resources for their sake. And commitment, most importantly, to God, faithful in relationship with him, faithful in living out the word and its teachings. Jesus gives us the example of ultimate love for others. In the Gospel of John, we find him saying, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." That's in chapter 15, verse 13. Is this laying down your life in death only? How about laying aside one's own life for the sake of loving and caring for others? There's a little lengthy passage in the Gospel of John, Peter being encountered by Christ. It says, "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend to my sheep.' He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." That's in chapter 21, verses 15 to 17, and that's after Peter had already denied Christ at the crucifixion. Now, Peter's life had been built around the business of being a fisherman. Jesus was now calling him to lay that aside and take up this pastoral role as a part of being an apostle. Simon Peter was to lay down his life. His life was now to be lived for the sake of others. We have received the command from Christ Jesus as well, to love one another, spoken to his disciples, loving fellow disciples. We see in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." It's verses 34 and 35. This was and is a command for every believer. Disciples loving one another, even sacrificially. The priority of who to love? It looks like he's saying to love one another first and foremost. This is also where commitment to one another comes into view. The command requires some level of commitment to be fulfilled in love rather than because it's a commandment. Fulfilled relationally rather than religiously. And how much greater a love when it extends beyond the fellowship of believers. Our love for one another ought to be a reflection of God's great love for us. This is seen no better than in Paul's teaching to husbands concerning how they ought to love their wives. In Ephesians, Paul writes, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." It's chapter 5, verse 25. Christ Jesus laid down his life for the church, for the body of Christ. He did not do it for a religious institution. He did it for the salvation and sanctification of mankind. Those who believe will reap the benefits of his sacrifice. The husband is to show sacrificial love for his wife, providing for her needs, laying aside his own selfish desires, leading her in the way of Christ for her salvation and sanctification. This is laying one's life down in both the living and the dying, which is what Jesus had demonstrated for us. In life, he laid aside personal ambitions, etc. He showed us how we ought to have an intimate relationship with God, with the Father. He showed us how we ought to follow the leading of Holy Spirit. He showed us how we ought to love one another. And then in his death, he willingly sacrificed his life for our sake. He was bruised for our iniquities and wounded for our transgressions. And by his wounds, we were healed. He was beaten, battered, bloodied, and pierced to the shedding of his blood for the forgiveness of our sin. This brings us to the question of what we are willing to do. If we are to follow Christ Jesus, to imitate him, and mature to be like him, we are told exactly what we must do by Jesus. In the Gospel of Luke, it says, "He said to all, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.'" That was verse 23. Jesus continues in verse 24 by telling us what would occur based upon our decision, whether we would ignore the call or if we would answer the call. He says, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Will we preserve our grip on this mortal life that is relatively short, following the ways of the world, and lose out on eternal life? Or will we live this life in love for others and for the sake of Christ and the kingdom of God, securing our life to come in eternity? It's not about doing works to earn our salvation. It is our actions, words, and attitudes reflecting what is in the abundance of our heart. Are we truly growing in love for one another? We are also told what is expected of us by God. In the Old Testament book of Micah, it reads, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" That's chapter 6, verse 8. So here he's telling us what we ought to do, what's required, that we do justice. And that's God's justice, not ours. To love kindness, that's to care for others and be kind and considerate, compassionate, and then to walk humbly with your God. That is realizing that God is who he says he is, and we need to know who he says we are to have that right relationship. So with that, we need to go and serve the Lord through obedience and love from the abundance of our hearts. So let's take a pause now for some reminders and notes from Garrett, and Garrett and I will be right back to have a conversation on this topic.
Just a moment to remind you that all notes and video links can be found at our website, which is virtualstudywith.us, virtualstudywith.us. Feel free to use this broadcast or the notes as you disciple someone else, as you lead a small group, or as you dive deeper into your own study of God's Word.
Thank you for those reminders, Garrett. Welcome. How are you doing today?
Oh, you know, it's another good day. The sun is shining. The weather's been a little cooler, so that's nice. So now it's just getting back to learning and growing with our wonderful Savior.
Yeah, it's nice to be out of those hot streaks. So today's topic, loving one another with a kind of a leaning towards commitment. One thing about the church in America, it seems to revolve around my needs and my timing and my convenience. And I'm not so sure the gospel was meant to be presented in that fashion.
And when you were reading it, I was thinking of those terms in particular about being plugged into the church and going, well, you know, when I go to my regular church, it seems like, you know, sometimes people don't want to be bothered with things that aren't their needs, but are very real needs of the people, his flock, but we don't want to be inconvenienced, maybe. I don't know. And I'm not saying that of everybody. I'm just saying what I have seen or have felt, or I tend to gravitate towards the people who are in that loving zone a little more and who believe in that mindset and act in that mindset, as opposed to the ones where you feel like I can't bother them or they can't be bothered. Because you've run across those people, right, John, where you know that you can ask certain people and they'll be there and they have your back 110%. And then there's other ones where you're like, I won't even bother because I already know the response they may or may not give. That whether that's right, wrong, or is indifferent, but you should be able to at least ask and feel free to ask when you're in that type of environment, my mindset.
Perhaps we just don't have enough teaching on what love really is, because even Merriam-Webster gets it when it says, unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of one another. And benevolent meaning marked by or disposed to doing good. So unselfishly doing good, to be loyal to one another.
And I know if a need has always been brought into me, I always think about how can I, is it time, money, resources? What do I have that I can utilize to help that person in respect to what their need is? And that's the part where, you know, if somebody comes to me within the body of Christ and says, hey, I need that. Okay, well, people automatically think, well, they want money. Well, no, money may help in certain respects, but it may be they need a ride somewhere. They need somebody to watch something. They need somebody just to help them lift something. Ask those questions and find out where you can step in and give of your time, your resources, your energy. You know, there's so many different ways of helping. It's just being open and listening to where God wants you to be on that playing field in that person's life at that time the question is asked and what you can do.
I was going to say we have to be careful about our attitude, but I think more properly be aware of our attitude, because we can be in danger of coming close to what Cain asked. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, the answer is, yeah, you are. But remembering that our attitudes and our words and our actions come from that abundance of our heart. So really the time to be concerned about it is before we get into the activity, before we get into the question of somebody else needing help. What is the abundance of my heart? Is it to be loving and unselfish and caring for others, or is it about caring for my own needs primarily? And
that makes complete sense, because you have to be in that right mindset as well. Again, it's one of those things where I think you've got to be, like you said, think about it beforehand so that you can act in the right manner and have yourself already set in that thing, in that sense, to move forward.
As you're speaking, there instantly comes to my mind the scripture about taking every thought captive. Like Cain had to know he's being evasive when he said, am I my brother's keeper? He didn't want to answer the question, so he's throwing something back, hoping that it would get him off the hook.
Yeah.
I know when I'm doing something deceptive. I know when I'm doing something, I feel that little check in my spirit from Holy Spirit about this isn't quite right. Mm-hmm. we need to follow the Lord in that, first of all, we don't do it, but when we start doing it, to check ourselves and be honest, just stop myself and avoid the evasiveness. You know, maybe it's just a bad day for me to be helping somebody. Maybe I just need to confess that. Dude, I'd love to help you, but man, today is not the day. My headspace and my everything's going wrong. But that reflects my focus on myself, but at least it's honest.
If we were more honest with ourselves with that and getting to know somebody, you know, like you and I, we plan for our recordings and then sometimes we'll say, hold on, God's giving, you know, and we move around and we have time for that. But we also understand our needs for our health and our mindset so that we can do what God has called us to do as well. So being honest with yourself to tell somebody, here's the real truth and I just need some time. Here's that. And then being able to move forward in that decision is always, you know, being honest with yourself is really cool.
Let's be clear from the get-go here. If anybody's feeling convicted in their own spirit, we're not innocent of all this stuff. You know, we struggle with it like everyone else. You know, these commands, some of them are heavy, some of them are quite challenging, and we're all on this road of sanctification at some point. And some of us are struggling just to get our feet under us, and some of us think we're mature and we need to really look at some of these things more deeply and really evaluate where we're at with the Holy Spirit and move forward in that relationship. And you know what's really a joy is every once in a while when something's going down and someone's helping out and you realize this really is sacrificial love. There is something about it that nobody has to say anything, but you just know that this person is sacrificing something, whether it truly be that they are cutting out their own stuff to give you time, or they do have their needs of their own, but they're still willing to give you the whatever, you know, might cost $20 or whatever your need is. There really is times where the sacrifice is evident just in the way it's done without trying to draw attention to it. I think it's the Spirit shows us that there's more reason for gratitude at certain times.
Well, and the fun part about that is that you, like you said, it's nothing that is said out loud. You just can look at each other and go, okay, you know, and you have that feeling and you know God is around you in that moment and that you're on that right path. And it's just, there's no more explanation than that. It's just, he works pretty uniquely, I tell you.
And Jesus challenges us pretty well to go beyond what the natural thing is. You know, someone's suing you for your tunic, give them your cloak as well. Or like back then, the Romans could pick you out of a crowd and force you to carry it. And I think it was a limit that they had that they could make you walk 1 mile carrying some of their gear for them, their armor or whatever else. And there was a limit of the 1 mile. And Jesus is saying, well, offer to go the second mile. Show that guy love. How weird would that be for that guy to have somebody that he demanded they carry it the 1 mile? He says, well, brother, let me bless you today and carry it too. Christ working through us sometimes is going to require something of us.
Oh, for sure. And you have to be then obedient to that. And again, that's whatever the needs may be at that time.
And how about this one? Give to the one who begs from you. We live in a day and age where you see people on the street corner. And you know, some of them are just doing it to make a living. You know, they're making pretty good money. There's some that are actually in need. How do we discern which is which? Well, I heard it said one day, a guy said, you know what? The Lord prompted me to give to this person. And I was thinking he's part of that scam ring that they're just making great money. And the Lord said, give him the money. And he had to do it. He then realized it's not for him to judge. It's for him to obey. Mm-hmm. And let the Lord deal with those people that got the money and whether they're using it properly or doing the right thing. His lesson learned that he shared with us was if he's prompted by the Holy Spirit, he just gives without trying to give it too much thought. Just give, just be obedient and let the Lord deal with everything beyond that. Maybe you are truly being a blessing in that instance. And do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Now, borrowing from people, it can get to be a little hairy once in a while, but I've taken, again, the approach that I learned long ago. If I lend something to somebody, I just count it as gone. Oh. And when the repayment or the return of the item shows up, I feel good about it instead of a week later wondering where it is and stewing about it and start questioning the guy's integrity and all kinds of things rather than just letting it go.
And this is where the word borrow to me is like, okay, and I'm in the same mindset you are. If I'm giving it to you, I'm not expecting it back just because, especially.
Not that we don't want it back.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it's easier, especially when a lot of the people not a lot of people, but, you know, dealing with family and friends and all that, you know, people tell you never loan money to your family or your whatever. Well, I never do. I just say, here you go. If you need, you've asked me for this, we're part of this group. We're part of our family. We should do this. And being a part of the family, the body of Christ, same thing. And it makes it easier on my head because then I don't have to worry. And then I just know that if it comes back to me that I'm how in whatever form it comes back, then I know that I'm doing the right things. I just know that in the long run, I'm already set up in the right mindset to be able to help. And I think life works better when you think of it in that way, instead of just borrowing and then, oh, I want that back. Or if you have terms on it, like you're a bank and you say, okay, you're going to borrow $20 from me. Well, next week I want 25.
Loan shark.
You start doing that kind of stuff. And it's like, wait, no, how does that benefit what's going on? Because the person may be using the word borrow when it's an actual need, because most people's intentions are to resolve whatever it may be and however they can do it down the road, right?
It's usually the intention's honorable in the beginning.
Yeah. So that's the whole
point. But it may become impossible later.
Well, yeah, you never know, because you look at, there's people in my predicament dealing with major medical stuff all the time. You never know from one moment to the next what's going to happen, but that doesn't mean you have a right not to keep moving forward, not to keep doing what you can do within your realm of what responsibilities and obedience you can be to God. You know, people look at me all the time and they're like, you have all these things going on, so you should be that guy who should be able to moan and complain. And I said, no, I'm the guy that chooses to go, okay, God, how am I supposed to use this today to better your kingdom, better my life, and better my care? And to me, it's to keep that mindset. Not that there aren't days where I want to tell my doctors to take a flying leap, because there's plenty of those days where it's like, okay, guys, you like your numbers, you like your statistics, but I'm also a human being and we need to remember sometimes that part, and it isn't always easy.
And someone with a medical issue that can put them behind the eight ball quick and kind of change what they intended to do, repay quickly. All of a sudden they're behind an eight ball. But anyone that wants to dispute this topic, ask yourself, how often in your prayers did you say, it's all yours, Lord, I'm just a steward? So if we start wanting things back and start getting demanding,
yep,
then we got to go back to some of those parables, like the one that was forgiven and then went demanding from another one, even though they were forgiven. You know, some of the stuff ties together. So we really have to be careful and again, yep, control what's the abundance of our heart so that we can act properly when the situation arises.
Well, and sometimes we just need to get back to humbling ourselves, right?
Right. And we may not be in the physical occupation like the Jewish state was with the Romans there, but we're kind of under the occupation of the deep state and whatever else is going on these days. We better not go down that road because number one, we don't need Big Brother listening in on us. And number two, it's kind of a rabbit trail. But it's interesting that Jesus provides the reason for us to do these things. And he says, so that you may be sons of the Father who is in heaven. So I don't think he's putting conditions on our salvation, but he's saying, you know, if not just a believer, but you truly want to be a son of the Father who is in heaven, enjoying the inheritance that is yours, and you truly want to have that abundant life and all that you can have, you need to do these things. You need to grow in these things. You need to mature and be Christ-like in these things, attitudes as well as actions. You know, so if we're going to be sons of the Father, we really do need to follow the example of Jesus. And who better to show the love of the Father than what Jesus did when he came and offered us the gift of salvation to everyone, not just the good, but the wicked. And we were wicked before we were saved. We were the wicked. So we can't look at it as us and them. It's us and us who don't yet know the joy of salvation. So
there you go.
It's still us. So he goes on in those verses and challenges people, you know, if you're just doing like the Gentiles do, or you're doing the same thing that tax collectors do, two groups that weren't exactly loved by the Jews in that day. He says, you know, if you're just doing the same as them, what makes you any different? So he is calling us to go above and beyond into this area of sacrificial love, into this area of actually doing the word, following the teaching and fulfilling those teachings in our lives. Again, just as we always say, you know, people are sick of hearing us say it on this episode. Mm-hmm. The concept is simple, just not always easy.
And that's the recurring theme you'll hear through most of living the Christian life, is that same thing, is that it is. And it's really taking that personal responsibility for yourself and then committing to that. And you and I both know it's not an easy thing to do. And it's a thing that we have to check ourselves throughout moments of the day as well. Again, going, okay, wait, does this line up? Am I in that right mindset? And, you know, as long as you're in tune with all of that, God will lead every step of your day moving forward. And it isn't easy to die to all these worldly things that I want to do this. Well, what does he want me to do? What do I need to be in obedience about? Where do I need to go to be in tune and in line with what he's teaching me to do, and to be able to be in that obedience so that he can actually do the workings and the miracles he really wants to do within the world?
Well, hey, let me tell you, in verse 48, he tells you, he says, you must be perfect. Are you perfect, Garrett?
Nope.
Me neither. But it's funny, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. How do we achieve that? That's a pretty tall order.
Yeah. Yes, it is. And that's hard.
And we can only do that by the way the Father sees us, covered in Christ, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, clothed in Jesus Christ. We still have our sinfulness to deal with day to day, but the Father sees us as complete. He sees us at the end of this journey with grace, rather than seeing us at the beginning of the journey. So he sees our sanctification as a done deal. In the end, when we're in Christ, when we're in eternity, when sin and evil and wickedness is no more, that's how God sees us once we surrender our lives to Christ Jesus. But we are still called to walk it out, to be sanctified, to grow in the sanctification, but we walk in a justification of Christ already. So at the moment we're saved, at the moment we surrender our life to Christ, the religious term is we are justified. And that means that God is seeing us through the lens of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, his redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. And people use the term justified as just as if I had never sinned. But getting from the reality of sinner to perfection, that road is called sanctification. That is a process that is ongoing through our life. And the interesting thing is, in that process, while we're covered by the righteousness of Jesus, covered by his perfection, he is actually working out righteousness in our own lives, teaching us how to walk in that way that he walked, teaching us how to live a life that is pleasing to the Father, teaching us the ways of perfection. It's a long journey.
Oh, yes. And again, one of those things where it is a lifelong journey. And yes, you have the choices and decisions to make in that process. It's pretty incredible that he wants to walk with us and that he is there for us and that he loves us as much as he truly loves us.
And this is where the idea of commitment comes in, because we have to be committed to it to progress along that road of sanctification. And I know that we've all had our little falling away, backsliding, whatever term you want to use. But we've had times where we've kind of taken a break from our walk with Christ. And there really shouldn't be a taking a break in it, but that's what we do as humans. We get discouraged and kind of wonder, are we on the right path? Is this really all worth it? Is this really what he wants me to do? We end up falling away for a short time, then repenting and coming back. But our commitment when we do that has to be even stronger, because the farther down this road we go, the bigger the challenges become. And it is only in overcoming these challenges that our faith can grow. That idea is really important. Not only being committed to the journey, but faithfully committed to God, committed to one another. So if we agree to come together, like the two of us have come together to do this project here with this podcast, this is episode 20. We wouldn't be here today if we weren't both committed to it.
Oh, exactly.
This doesn't mean that we're committed to it forever, but we're committed to one another, that one day one of us is just not going to just show up. One of us at some point may say, the Lord's leading me in a different direction, and the commitment will be there to finish up what the Lord wants us to do. The question is, if things change, you know, where is he leading us? You know, this podcast is nice. I'm prayerfully confident that it will help many people. It doesn't mean that it's something that goes on forever. God has a time and a season for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So what's our behavior and actions? Is it reflecting commitment to one another, commitment to family, commitment to God? Where's our faithfulness in it all?
So true.
So when Jesus gives the example of ultimate love, greater life has no one than this, that they lay down his life for his friends. It's easy to always think, well, Jesus, you know, laid down his life and went to the cross. But in reality, we have to lay down our life in the living of it. Like in marriage, Christ gave his life for us, for the believers.
Mm-hmm.
He gave it for our salvation. In the example that Paul gave in Ephesians about husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Am I willing to set aside even a hobby or something I like to do, or set aside me time to take care of an issue that needs to be taken care of for my spouse? Am I willing to sacrifice for her? It's a question that we have to ask ourselves. And really the question is, how far am I willing to go? So when we tell God we're willing to do anything, really? Are we really? The interesting thing was, after Jesus' resurrection, before he ascended, he sat down for breakfast with the disciples. And, you know, the three times of asking Peter if he loved him, mimicking the three times of his denial, giving Peter a chance to basically cleanse himself of all that. It is kind of funny, though, that I don't want to say he's toying with him, but it's like, it seems like he's pretty direct about it, you know, just kind of setting it out there. I think Peter does end up with a cleansing from this. Because after the third time, you know, it says that Peter was grieved. Well, I'm sure Jesus noticed that. And then Peter had to have, after the fact, known that the forgiveness was total. Peter, you're forgiven, you're restored. I really look at that kind of as an intimate time for the two of them. And really preparing Peter, you know, other than not having the Holy Spirit fully yet. But at Pentecost, that'll happen. But fully preparing him to truly commit to doing the work of the ministry and following what the Lord would lead him to do. You have any views on that?
Again, looking at that from my perspective is that we have these things he's called us to do, and we work through this. And, you know, I think it must have been hard back in the day. Here you go. And it's one of those things where sometimes I wish I could have that actual physical relationship with him and just go, hey, I wish you're right here so I could really hammer this out with you right now kind of thing. But they had that part back then. And now for us, we have to figure what we need to be following there and just kind of listen, go, hey, God, here's what we need to do. I just think it's amazing that he planned for all these ways for us to live our lives through him. And he made the way by sending his son. And like we've always said, it's a simple concept, but it isn't always easy. And the more I can say that, and you're not alone. You know, you're not alone on this walk. He definitely wants you to be, well, all of us to be together in the body of Christ. So we've said this many times. If you have questions, concerns, you want to reach out, you need somebody to talk to, we're here. We're willing to guide and be a part of your life. And that's what we've been called to do. Does that mean we sacrifice for some of the things that we do, John? Most likely, yeah.
We do.
We put aside the time to put this together because that's the obedient part we're following. We know God has a plan in what we're doing. And does it come together always at the same time every week? No, we have a tentative plan around that, but we also know we as human beings have our things we have to struggle with, our families, we have to do that and then figure out how to get it to work. And then we do get it to work. And it's always in his timing. And we've made that part of our working establishment when we're doing this ministry stuff too, is that we're in commitment, we're making sure we're on that and we're doing what we do within that week. We seem to have this flow of we've got our week figured out. And the recording part of this podcast fits wherever it needs to fit during that week, but it isn't set in stone that then we get disappointed with one another. We may be disappointed for a minute because we know we're having a struggle and we had this time set aside, but we're still moving forward and doing what we got to do. But you and I do hold each other.
That comes from the commitment though, right?
Well, yeah. And we do hold each other accountable to like, okay, we're not letting this go past, you know, we haven't missed an episode. We thought we might. Yeah. A couple
of times.
You need
the time to edit, so.
Yeah, and we've had that discussion, and we both have made that clear to each other that we want to make sure we get every week done, no matter how badly we may or may not feel. We find the best time, and part of this is relying upon God and giving it to God and then moving forward in order to continue down the path, is that you have to give up some of the things, and then you have to check yourself too and go, is this really... is this something I want or need, or am I living in the obedience to get whatever it is he's asked me to do? And if I catch myself where I'm trying to argue that, well, but I want to do this. Well, I want, as soon as I start arguing the, I want, and then I have to stop and go, okay, God, no, what is it that you need me to be doing? Let me sacrifice that to move forward. Because apparently I'm supposed to, I get that. And we all have those urgings and nudgings throughout our day. And that's the part about the relationship, walking this relationship, that you have moments where, you know, if you screw up in one part of the day, doesn't mean the whole day shot, doesn't mean the whole week shot. Regroup, repent, and then move forward. I always had the hardest time with, well, my weight and food. And my relationship to that was that, oh, I screwed up for lunch, so the rest of the day is shot. No, stop. It was one meal. Step back, regroup, move forward. And then, because if you decide that, oh, I've been sinning all morning, so now the rest of the day is shot. Well, then you start arbitrarily making these thoughts that, oh, I can sin all day and it's okay. And then I just keep, you know, no, then you start sliding, you know, and then your walk to that perfection that God sees you in takes kind of a back seat when you need to be full and present in your committed walk with him. And you've got to come back to that, because we have those days, you know, we have those moments in our lives where we do that. Yeah. Living this life isn't always easy. We know that, but I know that I would rather be walking along with him than alone. And I'd rather be able to share my life with others and have them walk with me and go from there. So it's pretty incredible.
So a little side note on this episode with Peter, I used to think it would be really interesting to hear the conversation Peter had with his wife when Christ first called him to come follow me. He was a fisherman. He had a wife. He was supporting his wife. I think his mother-in-law lived with him based on the story about when she was sick and Jesus came to their home and healed her, made her well. So there was some dependence on there. And I'm sure Peter was a committed man to his family. It just seems like it. Mm-hmm. So what was that question she would have when he says, I used to be a fisherman, but I'm going to go follow the one that I believe is the Messiah. Now I say, I used to really wonder that, because in my life here in the last few years, my wife's kind of been put into that same boat, no pun intended. I was led to not work the 9-to-5 shifts, you know, like climbing the corporate ladder, having the secure job. You know, I do odd jobs or stuff the Lord brings across my path from time to time to help take care of things. He supplies all our needs. We both believe that, my wife and I. And when I had to let her know that I was taking this turn, her response was interesting. It was, well, the one thing I know is that you don't talk crap. So if the Lord told you to do it and you believe that, you better do it. So I got to think that Simon Peter's wife was prepared by the Holy Spirit the same way I believe the Holy Spirit must have prepared my wife for what I was being called to do, to lay down my life for the sake of the city that I live in. Because my call was to take care of the city, to pray it into the kingdom of God, to prayer walk the city, to start other things here and not be in the 9-to-5 job, not be in the regular church system, do things a little bit different, for which I've taken some guff over from outside the home. Some people accusing me of things that aren't true. People even to the point telling me what my wife thought of me and all the stuff that I'm doing and despised me for it and all this. And then when I have the conversation with her, she's like, where is this coming from? Because, you know, it's not her. So it's interesting that the Holy Spirit prepares us and prepares those around us that need to be prepared, I believe, for when he calls us to something that's a little bigger than what we expected.
Well, and I know you and I both had conversations as through this process for you, and both of us at different parts in our walk in life, and you and I become good friends and able to talk about these things, you know. And I, you know me with my health stuff, I'm forced basically to figure out alternative ways to make an income outside of help from other government means and things like that. But I'm also know that I do have worth. I do have things to do, and I've got to still move forward and still live. But no, I've watched you change and grow through all this. And I know how difficult it's been, because you have people coming at you from different angles with this too, with their perceptions on what you should and shouldn't be doing with your life, blah, 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 you know. And then to be able to stick to it and go, God has called me to this. I know this for a fact. And there, some people just think you're outright crazy. And it's like, no, you're the crazy one, really. Because I'm
it's a matter of learning that the enemy's trying to discourage and slow it down and draw it back. So,
yeah, that, and so ultimately, thank you for pointing me to that, because that is what it is the devil trying to work his agenda into this. And we need to realize.
And it goes back to that scripture about we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not the person. It's whatever the enemy's whispering in their ear and helping them to believe that he comes to lie, kill, destroy, you know, all those things. So
he sure does.
That's what he's trying to do.
And they'll do that. Yeah. And that's exactly what's coming into play, because especially when it comes to what you were saying about your wife and all that, and you're like, well, she knows right where I stand. And she does, you know, there, for me, I can look at her and I know completely she gets what you're trying to do and the blessing that she is to your guys's relationship. And that's the cool part, is that then I know for a fact you're both walking in the right decision to do. And that doesn't mean you don't check yourself and go, okay, am I still walking, God? Do you have another plan? Are you moving me somewhere? Where you're doing that right now with all this stuff, trying to figure out what God's next plan is, but being obedient to what he has laid out in front of us too at the same point in time. But it's also being mindful of the resources that he gives us so that we can be better obedient and better, you know, better obedience, as well as be able to walk that better life with him and our commitment with him. You know what I mean?
It also doesn't mean we're going to live our life perfectly, but when he says, if you're going to come after me, deny yourself and pick up your cross daily and follow me, that's about all we can do is daily.
Well,
say I'm laying it down again today. Tomorrow I got to do it again. I'm laying it down again today.
And that doesn't mean we don't have struggles. That doesn't mean we don't have health issues. That doesn't mean we don't have financial struggles. We just know that when we're in right accordance with him, life is so much better.
It comes down to when he's talking about, if you want to save this life, you're going to lose out on the real life. If you want to let go of this life, you're going to save yourself to eternal life where the rewards are greater and things are better. So which one do you really want? Where are you going to put your attention? You're going to focus on the kingdom and life to come and then just be obedient in this short breath of a life we actually live on earth? Or are you going to hang on to this life and hang on to everything and think about self and not love one another? You know, what do we really want to put our grips into? Where do we really want to be, in the sake of Christ and the kingdom or the sake of self? So that is where the sacrifice comes in. As one verse, I think, in something Paul wrote, was offering your body as a living sacrifice. It's a right form of worship. So you're actually worshiping God when you sacrifice this life and you even offer up your body to do what God wants you to do so that he can work through you to impact others and make abundant life for them as well. So we're told to love what is good, told to love doing what is just, told to love being kind and loving one another. We're told to walk humbly with God. We're instructed to do these things. So the question is, will we? So we'll carry on from there and encourage people to go look at the website. These are notes. This isn't an all-encompassing study that's writing a book. These are notes from what I study and what the Lord leads me to believe that being disciples, we need to know these things. We need to think about them, ponder them, meditate on them. And they're loaded with scripture verses. And you may find a verse that says something different to you. Mm-hmm. The way the Holy Spirit's interpreting it into your life. But if you're in the scripture, I don't think it can go wrong. Try to make sure that you keep it in the right context and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth.
That's just it. Use this information as a learning point or a starting point if you need to, and then do your own research. Follow what God puts on your, because he has a plan for your life and you're part of his playing field. And you need to be open to that. But remember to surround yourself with the right-minded people as well. And then be in his word and be focused and obedient. And we'll be behind you. Well, we're here to help. And we're here to guide. We're here to answer questions if at all possible. But we are in this life with you. And we want to see you be successful.
So thank you, everyone, for joining us on Being Disciples.
Thank you for joining us today for this episode of Being Disciples. The show is hosted on Podbean with a webpage at beingdisciples.podbean.com. There you'll find all episodes of this podcast. There's also a patron button you can use to support this broadcast if you feel so moved, and we would very much appreciate that. So thank you. You can also find us on your favorite podcast platform. The notes and links for this show can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, virtualstudywith.us. Feel free to use this broadcast or the notes as you disciple someone else, as you lead a small group, or as you dive deeper into your own study. From that site, you can contact us if you'd like to join a study group. If you have questions or comments for Pastor John, you can contact John by email at john.s@anokaawakening.com. And that's john.s@anokaawakening.com. Please subscribe to this podcast and join us again next week as we learn more about being disciples.